We're coming to the Lord's table in a few minutes, and it's one of the glories of the Word of God that he says in Song of Solomon chapter 2, he brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. How do you get into the banqueting house of God Almighty? You are brought into the banqueting house of God Almighty. We love to think of that love of God. It is infinite, it is eternal. And if John 13 verse 1 is not one of your favourite verses in the Bible, it ought to be. It says, the feast of the Passover was near. Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which are in the world, he loved them unto the end. His own. His own. His own. I am so thankful that we have God's word written, preserved, and by the blessed Holy Spirit illuminated to us. And in Revelation chapter 14, there's a, in the midst of all of the extraordinary things that are going on in Revelation, occasionally we have these remarkable glimpses of heaven, and then we have John being commanded in verse 13 of Revelation 14, he says, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, you write this down. You write this down. Don't you love that? God caused it to be written. God the Holy Spirit wrote all of this book. He illuminates all of this book, and all of this book is about the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You write it down. How blessed we are, how blessed we are that we can go, that it's written and I can go back and I can look at it again and again and again. And when I forget, I can go back and look at it again and I can remind myself again and again of what God says. And I can say amen again and again and again. Faithful, true, dependable, reliable. God's word is like him. It's living and active. And it's sharper than a double-edged sword. And listen to what he says. You write this down. You write this down so the saints can read it until I come back again. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labours and their works do follow them. There are blessed people in this world. The children of God are a blessed people, aren't they? They are blessed in the Lord Jesus Christ. It means to be in an enviable situation in the circumstances of your life. It also means to be happy, blessed. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Hence, from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labours. What is it? And their works do follow them. What is it to be in the Lord? Well, the Scriptures give us just wonderful, wonderful pictures of what it is to be in the Lord. You're in the ark, or you're outside of the ark. There is a great division between humanity, isn't it? There are those who are in the Lord. And how do they get in the ark? How did the ark ever get built? Noah for 120 years would have been seen like the biggest fool there ever was. What's this business about rain? What's this about rain? What are you building? What's a boat? What are you building a boat for? You're in it. You're in it because God put you in it. And who shut the door? God shut the door. And what was inside the ark? Pitch, propitiation. What kept the waters outside the ark? and kept the wrath of God at bay for those people. The wrath of God fell on that ark just like it fell on the rest of that world, didn't it, at that time? And it was absorbed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that ark, with those people in it, above all the troubles and all of the storms and all of the upheavals of the earth that went on, the highest thing on planet Earth was the ark. The waters were 20 feet above the mountains, higher than this building above the mountains. The highest thing on planet Earth, the thing that rode above all of those waves, was the ark. You're in the ark. What is it to be in the Lord? It's to be so united to Him, so one with Him. That's what his prayer is, isn't it, in John 17? He prays for this unity. He knows it's a reality. He's not praying for something that won't happen. He's praying because it has happened in eternity and it must happen in time. It's pictured in baptism to be in the Lord, isn't it? We're in Him. We're immersed in Him. You're saved. Our salvation is because we're in Him. My righteousness before God is in Him. Our union means that whatever the Lord Jesus Christ did when He was on this earth, I did. We were chosen in Him from the foundation of the world. When He came into this world, we were circumcised in Him. When the Lord Jesus Christ lived on this earth, I lived before God in Him, perfectly obeying the law of God and perfectly, perfectly loving God with every breath, every second, and obeying the law of God in love. It wasn't a burden for the Lord Jesus Christ to perfectly fulfill the law of God. It was His delight to love God and to love his neighbour as himself, and I did it as well. When he lived, I lived. That's what baptism pictures. When he died, I died. When he was buried, I was buried. When he was resurrected, I was resurrected. When he was exalted, I was exalted. That's what it is to be in him, isn't it? Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Where are all of God's children now? We're raised up together with him and made sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're sitting with him now. Just like you're in the ark, to be in Christ is to be in that Passover, isn't it? To be in that house with the blood over the doorpost. What a glorious gospel declaration God says in Exodus 12, doesn't he? He says, when I see the blood, not when I see your faithfulness, not when I see your obedience, not when I see your good works, when I see the blood of my Son, I'll pass over you. It's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God who takes the sin of the world. The great desire of the children of God. Paul says, I just want to be found in him. Found in him. We worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. He counts all the things of this world, all things are lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him. When God comes looking for me, he's got to look inside of his Son to find me. What a place to be. What a secure place for the children of God. To be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, and being made conformable unto his death. How do you get in the Lord Jesus Christ? How do you get in him? Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. How do you get in him? Well, listen to what God says in in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30. But of him, of God the Father, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. If you're in him, God has made his Son your wisdom. That's all the wisdom I need. It's all the wisdom I need to get through this world. Jesus Christ is all the wisdom I need. And righteousness. He's made all my righteousness before God. And he's all my sanctification. Sanctification is not something that grows. Sanctification is a finished deal, isn't it? It's done in the Lord Jesus. He's all my sanctification and he's all my redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. How do you get in to the Lord? By God the Father. We are elected in him. We are chosen in him. We are loved in him. And we are kept in him. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. They rest from their labours. They rest from their labours. No more struggle with sin. No more struggle. No more does the child of God say, "O wretched man that I am." David said, "My sin is ever before me." It's a blessed thing, isn't it? This is to be written down. Blessed. Blessed are they. Blessed are they who have seen God in his holiness. Blessed are they who, having seen God in his holiness, have seen themselves in their sinfulness and seen their need of a Saviour. What a Saviour sinners need. What a Saviour sinners need. Real sinners need a Saviour exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ, who does all the things with all the power that the Lord Jesus Christ alone can do. We need a Saviour who can bear all of my sins in his own body on the tree, a Saviour who can bear those sins away so that the infinite wrath of God can be poured out on those sins and God can say they are gone, which is why they are blessed. I'll just read it to you, but there's a lovely verse in Jeremiah chapter 50 which ought to be precious to us. He says, "In that day, in those days, and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel, all the children of God, shall be sought for, and there shall be none." The iniquity of Israel, there'll be none. Who's looking for it? Anyone. Satan can look for it. God says there's none. They'll be sought for and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found. For I will pardon whom I reserve. That word pardon means I'll be propitious. I'll be propitious. It's just what the publican said at the temple, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner. God, you look upon your dear and precious sacrifice of your Son, and you be propitious to me." Believers rest from their labours. Believers alone are those who know that in this flesh dwells no good thing. David said, "My sin's always before me. In this flesh dwells no good thing. In this flesh, which is only ever seen by the new creation." There's a new creation that God puts in people in salvation and then works through that new creation for the rest of their journey here. It's created by God, Ephesians 2:24, in righteousness and true holiness. And that new man is the new man that sees the old man. There is a struggle. There is a struggle. God's people live in this world with two natures. They live in this world with the nature that they had from their father Adam, and they live in this world with the new creation in them, and there is a struggle. And so often we see the old man, and so often, and especially for children of God, they see the old man in themselves, and so barely do we see the new man. And that's why we need to hear the gospel again and again and again. I need to be reminded that God says, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." We are made by God to be perfectly fit for heaven. He has made us qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Blessed are the dead. All of the struggles with this flesh are gone. And they rest. What a lovely word. What a lovely word it is to rest. All is done. They rest from their labours, and their works do follow them. We have to write this down. You see, their works don't go ahead of them as a cause of their salvation, and their works don't go beside them as an assurance of their salvation. Their works do follow them. Faith is the evidence, and God works faith, and God creates faith in his children in such a way that we are caused to look to him. And blessed are they. We look to Christ because we need a mediator, and there's only one. We need a sin offering, and there's only one, and it's him. We need a substitute to stand before us as our representative before God. I need a redeemer to rest. I need a righteousness before God, a perfect righteousness. To be in the presence of God and to be at rest is to be as holy as God is holy, as righteous as God is righteous. They follow them. God works faith in the hearts of his people. Abraham believed God, and his faith was in exercise. Faith is exercised by God. He just believes God. Our works follow them. Not our works. When we get to heaven's glory, we'll say, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory and praise. Blessed rest, blessed union, blessed grace to believe, blessed to sing, blessed to be able, by the grace of God, to sing. What are they singing up there now? What are they singing? They're singing songs. I love that. I was joking with June the other day about the fact that my singing is so appalling and my sense of all sorts of music is just abysmal, really. But when we used to hop on the bus in India, there were 27 girls and they were between sort of 12 and 14 years of age. And as soon as the bus started to move, they'd start singing. And I printed out a stack of good hymns for them to sing, so they were actually singing really nice. And I couldn't help myself. They used to sing in harmonies and parts, and it was just, and they did it all the time, and they do it for hours, singing. And I used to join in and thinking, I'm just bored. And I used to say to those girls, one day you'll hear me singing in heaven, and it'll be tuneful in the most remarkable way. What are they singing up there now? They sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. You are absolutely sovereign over everything that happens in this universe. That's what's in the book, isn't it? It's the book of life. It's the book of God's sovereignty. It's the book of the eternal covenant. It's the book of the Lamb's. It's the Lamb's book of life. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. You have bought us back at the price of your very own life and that precious blood, out of every kindred and tongue and nation and people, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests. And we'll reign on the earth. We'll reign in the new creation. The glorious creation is coming. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. He'll wipe every tear from every eye. He'll embrace his saints. You might remember when Stephen was being stoned to death and Paul, Saul of Tarsus, was there. The Lord Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne of heaven. And he saw him stand. Stephen saw him stand. He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Oh, to see the glory of God in the face of his Son. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would grant us the grace of your comfort in the midst of trials. You would grant us the grace to simply believe what you have said about who you are and how you save your people in your dear and precious Son. You grant us the grace and peace, Heavenly Father, to rest in our union with him, that he's done all things well. He is doing all things well. He takes us into his banqueting house, and his banner over us is love. May we feast, Heavenly Father, again and again upon the broken body and that precious shed blood. And may his union with us be so real, Heavenly Father, that we can walk through this world and the circumstances that lie before us and continually be reminded that you are with us. You are with us, and you never leave us nor forsake us. Worlds without end. Cause your Son to be our hope and our trust and our rock in the midst of a changing world, Heavenly Father. For we pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.